Hi, I'm Paul Lisnick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
We're going to turn to something that is very important that everybody who lives in Illinois should be concerned about, the issue of redistricting. Now, it sounds like a eye glaze over topic, but it's really not, because it determines money that comes into the state. It determines how many congressional representatives you're going to have. And the real question is, just how fair is this process? You'd not be surprised to find out it may not be terribly fair. But there are, among the organizations fighting to get this to be fair, is Change Illinois. And joining me now is Madeline Dubeck. She's the executive director of Change Illinois. Madeline, I know you probably have huge New Year's Eve plans to go to some big party somewhere. So thank you for spending some time with me.
Happy New Year, Paul. I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you. We're going nowhere, right?
You got it.
Yeah. So, and by the way, as we go on, if our listeners have questions about the redistricting process, 312-981-7200, we'll put you on, or you can text at that number, too. We're happy to address it. All right. Let's just take a quick moment for people who don't understand this at all. We just had the census. Who knows when the numbers will be counted and all of that. But how does the process itself work, Madeline? What's going to happen if nothing changes?
What is going to happen is that the United States Census Bureau will send population data to the president and then to lawmakers throughout the nation. And in Illinois, lawmakers will use those population figures to draw political districts. And so this is literally the foundation upon which our democracy is built. And it really ought to be voters choosing their politicians, not politicians choosing their voters. Politicians have an inherent conflict of interest when they draw their own districts, and they tend to draw them so that there is little to no competition for them when they seek re-election.
And, of course, it's the powers that be. I mean, right now, this whole battle over Speaker Madigan and should he lose his position and all of that, the bottom line of it is people like Madigan and the leaders who draw those maps, right?
Exactly. And so Speaker Madigan has, in his appeals to the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus and to Latino members of the legislature, has been talking to them about his important power in doing that, and is using that to try to seek another and win another term as speaker.
So the stories that you get from the past, I mean, I know of one alderman who, I'll leave his name out of it, but who told me that because he was no fan, or the mayor was no fan of his district got drawn, his ward got drawn, so that rather than including homes in the district, the lines went down alleys to keep certain homes from coming out. We hear the stories of a representative who was drawn out of their own district. This is intentional stuff that happens, right?
This is absolutely intentional politics at play and rigging of districts. You mentioned a couple stories you've heard. I've heard from a senator who shall not be named, who talked about being called into meetings where his fellow lawmakers have literally brought in specific lists of addresses of houses they either want in their district or out of their district because they fear somebody living in that house might be running against them in the next election.
So
it's not the way our democracy is supposed to be run. I mean, that is corrupt rigging at its core.
So if Speaker Madigan was not the speaker and somebody else was the speaker, does that avoid these games? Or there'd be a new speaker and new leaders who would you expect do the same thing, because the problem is systemic? It's not necessarily about the particular players, or no?
You know, I think there would be certainly a greater opportunity for some transparency and fairness if there were new players involved. You know, certainly I think that we didn't get a chance to have the Fair Maps Amendment, which would bring an independent commission of citizens to draw the maps to play in the November election. We had hoped to be able to get a vote on that, but the pandemic put the kibosh on that. But there are still some things that we could pursue, no matter who is the Speaker or the Senate President. For instance, you know, as these things tend to go, like lots of important legislation in Illinois, it tends to get rammed through in a matter of hours at the very end of legislative session, typically in May. And so, you know, we'd like to ensure that there is a proper period of time for actually understanding the implications of the proposed map and, you know, be given the chance to provide some feedback to it before it's adopted this time. There ought to be a series of open and transparent hearings where people can participate and fight for their communities and you know, enable a chance to vocalize that they don't want their communities to be split up or divided. You know, I live in a community that has wards at the local level, and literally my neighbors across the street are in a different ward than I am. And those kinds of things, you know, can be corrected sometimes if people, real people, are involved in the process.
So my guest, by the way, is Madeline Dubeck. She's Executive Director of Change Illinois. I think this topic is fascinating. If you want to ask about redistricting, 312-981-7200. So the census is over now. The administration cut it short in terms of the time for collecting data. We know that the president has made efforts to be sure that undocumented people are not counted in the census. The way it stands right now is, I mean, the court basically is letting that go. But we're right at the precipice now, right, where there's a change in administration coming. Can you kind of fill us in a little bit on what lays ahead here?
Yeah, so the Census Bureau, the latest from the Census Bureau that's been reported is actually that they are going to miss their deadline for the first time in a long time at actually getting this data turned over to the president in the current administration. And so the likelihood has increased that that data will not make it in time for this administration, and it will be instead turned over to the new president, incoming President Joe Biden. That actually improves the chances that everyone in this country will be, who got counted, will be counted. Certainly we know that there are lots of pockets in Chicago and in deep southern Illinois, for example, where people didn't get counted at the level they should have been. But at least this improves the chances that undocumented immigrants will be counted, which is important because, you know, that is what determines how much federal assistance we get and money back from our federal government. It determines, you know, whether we're going to get enough aid for our schools, whether we're going to get enough aid for our streets to fix potholes. There are any number of ways in which that money trickles down and affects every one of us.
I know you don't know the answer to this question, but it's an instinct because you follow this so closely. Well, the decision that, hey, for the first time ever, we're just not going to get that in. Guess it's going to be the new administration. Does that sound political to you, or do you think, no, this is just, that's coincidence. It's just what's happening.
You know, I think that some of the delays that occurred because of the pandemic had a big hand to play in why this is being delayed. And, you know, the fact that actually the count was extended for several months, and then it was supposed to go even longer, but it got cut back because of the president, the current president, President Trump. And so all of those things, I think, contributed to this delay and the Census Bureau having some trouble with some of the data. I have to believe that there are, you know, federal employees working at the Census Bureau who really are not affected by politics, and they're trying to make the best of this data and produce it in a way that is accurate and legitimate.
That's encouraging to know. But let me ask you this. It's predicted that Illinois is going to lose a significant number. We have lost a significant amount of our population. We're going to lose a congressional seat. There's some projections that say it may lose two. But as part of this game, in other words, if we lose population in the city of Chicago, it's not that the city necessarily loses a congressperson. They just draw the lines to try and, at least in this state, wipe out a Republican seat. Would that be an accurate statement?
That would absolutely be an accurate statement because it is the supermajority Democrats who will draw those districts. And so they're, of course, going to try to diminish the Republican numbers. And so they'll try to stretch those districts out to take out a Republican member of Congress.
So people like Sean Casten, Lauren Underwood, who had very narrow victories, they can draw those to strengthen them a little bit more. But what is your sense of somebody like Marie Newman, who was just on my show earlier today? She beat out the party guy, right? She beat out you know, Lipinski, who that Lipinski's and the Madigans have a long time friendship. Is it your expectation that if Madigan is in charge of this process, he defends the Democratic seat for Marie Newman, or he goes, no, this is payback time because you took out the Lipinskis? Which way do you think that goes?
You know, I think his first instinct will be to draw as many Democratic districts as he possibly can, and that would include Marie Newman's district because she is a Democrat. So he'll try to get rid of some Republican seats, certainly before he will take out Marie Newman. Now, maybe he won't make her district as easy for her as she would prefer it to be, but I would expect that, you know, he's going to try to lose some Republican seats. He and President Harmon, I should say, are going to try to lose some Republican seats before they'll take out a Democratic incumbent.
So that's probably got to happen in the southern part of the state, right? That's where you have most of the Republicans.
Yeah.
So they
or central Illinois.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phone line so we get some thoughts in here. We've got Beth from Des Plaines, and hey, she's a citizen. She's got a good question. Hey, Beth.
Hi, I have a question for you. How can we as private citizens make this unfair process that's currently in place different? How can we make that change? What can we do?
Yeah, thanks, Beth. Appreciate the call. The most important thing you can do is demand better from your lawmakers. You know, we took a poll at Change Illinois earlier this year and found that 75% of Illinois voters want a fairer process. And ironically enough and importantly, even higher percentage, 82% of Democrats in the state of Illinois want a fairer, more transparent, more independent process. And so if each of us out there actually let our state representatives and our state senators know that we don't like the way things are done now and that we expect and demand better of them, then they're going to feel that pressure to try to improve the process. And, you know, we saw that the fair tax was defeated this year in November, and I think lawmakers are looking at that and learning some lessons from it. So, you know, the people have to speak up and ask for the government they deserve.
Thank you so much, Beth, for that. So you said at the opening of our conversation, Madeline, that people should pick their representatives and representatives shouldn't decide who gets to vote for them. That reminded me of a Paul Simon Institute survey at Southern Illinois University. They did a poll, and it showed that 67% of Illinoisans want redistricting taken away from the politicians, given to a commission of some sort. Now, you also mentioned early on there have been efforts. And, you know, during the course of my show on the now gone CLTV, but on Politics Tonight, I did many a show about redistricting, and some of the really significant people who were involved in those efforts, these weren't fly-by-night people. These were very well-known, powerful people trying to get some kind of commission created. How does this become a fair process?
You know, the way it becomes a fair process is to take it out of the hands of politicians, plain and simple. They have an inherent conflict of interest. You know, that's not a criticism. It's just a plain fact. You know, it's in people's self-interest to want to preserve their jobs. And so when they are able to draw their own districts, they have a much better chance of doing that. And so a lot of our neighboring states have either gone to a resident redistricting commission, an independent redistricting commission, or some sort of a nonpartisan process to take care of this every decade redistricting that has to be done at every level of government. So we're going to this coming year, be drawing new congressional districts, new state Senate districts, new Illinois House districts, and every local government also has to go through a redistricting process. So really, you know, now is the time for people to get engaged and to understand that this is truly the foundation of our democracy. We all got out and voted in November. It's absolutely critical that we all get engaged in this process as well and make sure that our communities are not carved up and that we have a fair process. So in Michigan, they've created an independent redistricting commission that's now going about learning the ropes and doing its job. That was something that was approved in the 2018 election. Missouri, they did the same thing there, but they've taken a bit of a step backward since then. Our neighbors in Iowa have a nonpartisan process to draw their districts. This is the way of the future, and we ought to have it in Illinois as well.
So people who say, and you just said it, hey, the elections were in November. I love the, like, you know, people are mad at Mitch McConnell for not letting this $2,000 payment go through. And yet I'm thinking, he was just elected. You've got six more years of Mitch McConnell. So, you know, he's in the early process. Is it too, what could still be done for this year, if anything?
What can still be done for this year, if anything, is for everybody to really contact their state reps and state senators and say, look, I don't want you drawing your own district. You know, for instance, we could pass a law very early in the year in January that created an advisory commission of average citizens. They could draw the districts and then hand them over to lawmakers, because our state constitution still says that lawmakers have to approve the districts.
So as looks like, as our caller Beth said, you let people know they should call. They should make that effort to reach people and still try and make a difference. Madeline Dubeck, the Executive Director of Change Illinois, thank you so much.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.